Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together and to encounter you as we turn to your word. We pray that you would open our hearts afresh, and we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, I wonder if you've heard of Mossab Hassan Yusuf. In his autobiography, Son of Hamas, Yusuf recounts his amazing journey from a culture of terror to a new and very different life. Yusuf grew up in the Middle East, where his father was a leader in Hamas, the Palestinian resistance movement regarded by the EU and others as a terrorist organisation. Now, from an early age, Yusuf was groomed to be a Hamas prince to succeed his father. Now, whilst he disliked the tactics, or some of them, of Hamas, he was, when young, arrested for weapons possession and spent some time in several Israeli prisons. Now, on his release, Yusuf was walking with a friend at Jerusalem's Damascus Gate when a British man, a Christian, invited him to come and do a Bible study. Well, he agreed, and he began to read the New Testament for the first time. He was deeply touched by the Sermon on the Mount and thunderstruck by Jesus' teaching to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Now, over a period of a year, Yusuf investigated further the message of Jesus and became a Christian. He was later baptized and joined a church. In August 2008, Yusuf publicly revealed his Christianity and distanced himself from Hamas, thereby endangering himself and putting himself at significant risk of persecution. And indeed, he needed to seek political asylum in another country. Now, Yusuf has helped prevent terrorist attacks back home, and recently has spoken of how Christianity helps him to deal with the bad memories that he has and to win over his enemies through love. He said, "This is how Christ defeated the world whom he loved in the most difficult and painful position on the cross." Well, how does such an experience come about? How is such a change possible? Well, what we read from this morning in 1 Thessalonians 2 helps us to see the answer. Over the past few weeks, we've been looking at this short but profound New Testament letter written by the Apostle Paul to new believers in Thessalonica, one of the most important Greco-Roman port cities of the first century AD. A new church had been planted after the Apostle Paul and his team had shared the good news in the city. They'd explained and proved the truth of Jesus from the scriptures, and some had responded. Now, there was opposition to the message, but some indeed did believe in Jesus, and a new, culturally diverse church began. And Paul writes to them sometime later, full of praise to God for their faith, hope, and love that they've exhibited, and how from a pagan background, many had turned to God from idols to serve God whilst they waited for Jesus to fully rescue them from God's just judgment when he returns. Now, a couple of weeks ago before harvest, we heard Paul in chapter 2 explaining how he and his team had served these Thessalonians, giving a great model for our Christian service. Being like a good father, encouraging, teaching God's truth, and a good mother, loving and affectionately caring. Well, as we read on in chapter 2, and it brings us to page 1188 in the church Bibles, 1188, we see something of the secret of how people like the Thessalonians, and people like Mossab Hassan Yusuf, and people that we are concerned for, can be changed by the good news of Jesus. And we see firstly that that involves receiving the gospel not as a human message, but as God's message. Now, what has happened to these people in Thessalonica fills Paul and his team with praise to God, who is behind the change in their lives. Verse 13, he says, "We also thank God constantly for you." But what in particular does Paul thank God for regularly about these Thessalonians? He says, we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, of people, but as it really is, the word of God. You see, when these new church members, most of whom had been pagan idolaters, had heard the message of Jesus, God become human, dying to rescue people from God's just judgment and rising again to bring new life, they didn't just hear yet another set of beliefs being explained, nor just another new idea taught by human philosophers, something not uncommon in the ancient Greek world, nor did they encounter merely the latest theory of the latest thinkers, but they recognized it as a message that had come from no less than God himself. Now, this message may have come through human messengers, but it was certainly not earthly in origin. It was a divine message. You accepted it not as the word of people, but as what it really is, the word of God. Now, this is the key to why God's word, his gospel message, is powerful and effective, and why some, like Mossab Hassan Yusuf, who hear, are changed. The gospel word of God is not just a religious viewpoint, simply slightly different from other ideas about God or the gods. It is the true and living God's message. As we hear the gospel, we hear God's voice, and God's word has power to bring change. The Apostle Paul says elsewhere in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that the gospel may seem foolish to some, incoherent to others, and in our day many may see it as irrelevant. But in fact, it is God's message which has power to bring God's rescue to people's lives. And that is why we must hold our nerve about the message that we have been given. Over the years, it's always been a big temptation to Christians to change the message because we think that we can make it something more believable, perhaps less offensive or more palatable. Movements of accommodationism, accommodating the gospel to the trends of the present age, have always had their adherents. But we must try, and though we must use language that communicates with people, we cannot and we must not change the message itself. Because it is the gospel that is God's power, and only that message can bring true change. So we need to encourage each other, because sadly there are many in our day, even senior figures in the Church of England, who seem to want to lead us down the old failed strategy of reshaping the gospel to fit the world, rather than passing on the gospel that God has given to us so that the world can be changed by that gospel. Now, this powerful gospel from God is therefore not something that has been created by us or made up by us, but it is to be passed on by us. And that is clear from the way that Paul speaks about God's word. He says, it was a message you heard from us. Behind that phrase is the idea that it was handed on by us. Now, recently I got an email from Rick and Alana Crichton, our mission partners in Nigeria. And because it was important for our day of prayer, I forwarded it, as you do with emails, to Barbara Rutherford, who was going to be leading our session on world mission. So the message that I got and that I passed on was not my message. I simply passed it on. You might say I communicated it, and yet it was really just helping Barbara to receive the words of Alana, who had sent it. Well, such is our essential task with the word of the gospel. This gospel message was, verse 13, received as it was handed on from God by the messengers, and it was accepted. That's always a good experience, isn't it? If visiting someone, you find yourself welcomed into their home, and that you receive hospitality. Well, the Thessalonians literally welcomed the gospel. They accepted the word of God. And this powerful word of God changed them. remember that key verse we've been thinking about from chapter 1, that they had turned to God from idols to serve the true and living God whilst they waited for the fullness of the salvation that God was giving to them. Now, the effectiveness of the gospel word didn't stop with them initially receiving it. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of people, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you, believers. See, just as the gospel is at work to change people, as the Holy Spirit takes it and works it in those who hear and receive and welcome it, so the word continues to be at work. The gospel word of God is God's instrument, as it's put elsewhere in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit's sword to bring change. And that is true in the first place, but also it goes on working in those who believe. I don't know when the last time was that you were prescribed antibiotics, but most of us have been from time to time. And we start taking the medicine, and it works in our body, often with quite quick effects, as the bacteria are attacked and become less effective, and our symptoms decrease. But the antibiotic, after the initial receiving of the drug, continues to work, eventually killing off the bugs that have made us ill in the first place. Well, similarly, the word of God is at work in believers. The gospel word of God works in us to make us more spiritually healthy, having given us new life in the first place. So it's encouraging to remember that, like the mastermind host, what God has started, he will finish. But it's also why God's message in the Bible is so important to us in an ongoing way. It's why we need to make time to learn from the Bible, why we need to make sure that the gospel word of God is handed on and taught week by week as we gather in services and in groups. God brings change as people receive the gospel, not as a human message, but as God's message. But we also see here in this reading that this is something that is authenticated as Christians continue in the gospel despite opposition. Now, it's quite possible that the Thessalonians here were tempted by a false idea that is quite common and Christians are vulnerable to it. That is, that we should expect life to be plain sailing, and that if it's not, then perhaps there's something wrong with what we believe or with us. Now, Paul reassures these believers, and therefore us, that actually opposition is not unusual for Christians, and that we continue to believe despite the opposition and challenges we face shows that the gospel message of God's word is real. For you, verse 14, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. Paul saying that the very first Christians in the Jerusalem area heard God's gospel word about Jesus, received it and welcomed it. And he says, they and you also believed whilst suffering. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out and displeased God and opposed all mankind by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved. So, as always, to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them at last or completely. You see, for the Judean believers in Jesus, it was the Jews, that is the religious leaders and others under their influence at that time, who disliked the message of Jesus and opposed the new believers and held back the messengers from sharing it with the wider population. For the Thessalonians, it was their own countrymen, their people from their own background, pagan Greeks, who opposed the Christian faith. And in our day, even us in comfortable Britain, we can face a measure of opposition, as clearly Mossab Hassan Youssef did. Some people are strongly against the message of God's good news in Jesus and will try and prevent other people from hearing it and make life difficult for Christians trying to share it. But from whatever group of people it comes, there is a reminder here that this opposition to the good news will not continue forever, because God's just, wrathful judgment will eventually come on opposition. But we're also reminded that opposition is in some respect to be expected. Opposition and suffering and challenges are not a sign that the gospel is not real or that there is something wrong in what we believe or in us. It just comes with the territory of being Christians. And that God gives us grace to stand firm under it shows the truth of the gospel word of God. Now, this opposition may appear in human form, but Paul reminds us, as he does elsewhere, that actually our battle is not ultimately against flesh and blood, but God's spiritual enemy, the devil. As he reminds the Thessalonians how much he thinks of them, verse 19, "For what is our hope or joy or crown or boasting before our Lord Jesus that is coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy." As he speaks of how much they mean to him, he points out that the opposition he faced was actually negative spiritual opposition. "But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you. I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us." You see, we should not be unaware of the devil's opposition, but encourage one another with the reality, of Jesus' victory. And that reality means that when we face opposition and suffering, it does not mean that the gospel is not true or that we are somehow off track, but that just as Jesus faced spiritual attacks and struggles, we will too. And yet at the same time, God's gospel word in Jesus is authenticated as we continue in that message despite such challenges. Well, we began asking, how does God change people? People like Mossab Hassan Youssef, or us, or people we know. Well, 1 Thessalonians 2 helps us to see that it is when people receive the gospel word of Jesus, not as a human message, but as it really is God's message. And whilst the gospel may bring opposition and challenges from human origins, and ultimately the devil, such opposition and suffering is not a sign that the gospel or we are wrong, but it is to be expected. And God's equipping of us to keep going underlines the reality that the gospel is true and that it is powerful. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us in and through Jesus. We thank you for those who have passed on that reality to us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit's work in us to make it real. And we pray that you would give us confidence in that message. Help us as a church community to hold fast to that message and to make it known to others, even when there's opposition. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.